let's get to the Home Run Inn Hotline. Home Run Inn Pizza, stop in one of their eight Chicagoland restaurant locations today. And there we find our guy, Matt Bowen. He of the National Football Post and, of course, the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. You guys have a good time out in Vegas?
Oh, boy.
We're still recovering.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Had the Giants on the money line. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I had the Patriots.
Brian, so did I. So
yeah,
we're
and Matt, I also had Beckham over in receiving yards, and you know he tore a ligament right out of the box. So hey, what are you going to do?
I had Manningham over, and he got a 38-yard catch that worked very well for me.
Some people born charmed, the rest of us not so much.
What are you going to do? I got lucky on that one, and you know I got to be honest with you. I wanted to change my pick, but we talked about this before the game, Matt. That the one matchup that didn't seem to make sense to me was the passing offense versus the passing defense, and that ended up being a big one. Although I never suspected
that was about as perfect a play as you're going to see.
But as much as we're sitting here hearing about how Tom Brady's he's not all that, and Eli won this thing. The fact of the matter is that if one catch is made, if he doesn't roll his shoulder, if another play goes the other way, they win that game. If Wes Welker catches that ball, they'd have won that game.
If Manningham doesn't catch that ball, they would have won that game.
Yeah, I think it was a football game that wasn't the best played game in terms of, because there were some mistakes out there, but you guys are exactly right. There's two or three plays that define that game that will forever define that game. You know, you start with the Welker play. That's a throw Brady has to make. That's a catch Welker has to make. I know there's been a lot of discussion about this, trying to point blame at one of the guys. And blame both of them. I mean, if you're the New England Patriots and you're going to win a Super Bowl, you make that play, the game's over. It's over.
Yeah.
You close out the game. That's what you have to do in that situation. It was a busted coverage from the Giants. Make the catch, make the throw. Mike, you're talking about the Manningham catch. That was actually Eli's third read. He wanted to work the front side of the field. And that was against cover two. And Bears fans know cover two very well.
Yes, we do.
And what happened was Sterling Moore allowed an outside release. And the first day of training camp, the first day of OTAs, whatever it may be, you sit in that meeting room and the coach is going to tell you, don't ever allow an outside release in cover two. Don't do it. Make him go inside. Make him go inside because it takes some stress off the safety. Moore allows a free outside release to Manningham. He gets down the field. And for some reason, Patrick Chung, he's starting to lean inside for some reason. You can't do that in cover two. You only have two routes on an outside release in cover two outside of the numbers. It's a fade or a comeback. That's it. That's all he can run from out there. You got to be over the top of that. But again, give credit to Eli for making that bucket throw and for Manningham for finishing the play. Because he had to take the ball in, drag his feet, secure the catch, as we all know now in the NFL. And that play, we're going to watch that play for 10, 15 years.
I don't think Sterling Moore was there for that meeting. I don't think he was there.
That's
part of the issue is the guy, you know, was a late fill-in, signed off a practice squad. I mean, that's amazing stuff that you can get to a Super Bowl with a player like that on the field. And you know, I totally agree with what you're saying. I got to tell you, I thought Brady got killed in that game by the media post game, and I really, having talked to a bunch of people, I thought that shoulder injury hurt him and that his numbers changed. And there were a couple of drives there where the guy was perfect and was you know, just absolutely amazing. Maybe the worst mistake he made was throwing that one up for grabs, forgetting for a moment that his tight end couldn't jump. Only in the post game party could the tight end actually jump.
I agree with you on that. Yeah, that YouTube video, that's
oh,
good.
Boy.
That hurts a little
bit. Can you imagine if they won the game? He would have been naked and running around the streets of Indy.
He would have been a celebrity then. Now he's in the doghouse where all the former players are getting on him. But, yeah, Mike, I agree with you on that throw down the field. If that's Hernandez, throw it up there against Chase Blackburn. That's a mismatch. And Rob Gronkowski against a middle linebacker down the middle of the field, it's a mismatch too, but the ball was underthrown, and we saw a game. Grant couldn't cut off that ankle. I mean, he just really couldn't. He was slow. Even on the Hail Mary, he looked stiff at the end of the play. So that's probably one Tom Brady wants back.
Matt, on your players page, nfpost.com, you write about the Copycat League. Here's the blueprint. Everyone's going to try to be the next New York Giants.
Right.
And the Bears, you have the 4 points. You have to have a pass rush. You have to have production, a quarterback. Well, you got half a pass rush in Julius Peppers. You got the quarterback I think most of us would agree on that. You don't have the true number one wide receiver. And balance to the game plan, I think we're going to see more of that with Mike Tice. But let's get back. We need someone on the opposite side of Julius Peppers, and we need the stud wide receiver, and it might have benefited if you actually got Mark Gross out of the New York Giants front office. But, hey, Phil Emery's here.
And that's what happened. I'll be at the scouting combine, when is it, in a week and a half. And last year, that's all anyone talked about when he got up at the podium, trying to build to the draft like the Green Bay Packers. Everyone wants to be the champs. That's not a surprise. And that's what everyone's going to say this year. How do we get like the Giants? And it's not just about getting hot in the playoffs, because you look at what they did throughout the playoffs. They literally kind of beat everyone up front along the defensive line. You go back to the Atlanta game. You go to Green Bay. And they had all that pressure, made Aaron Rodgers run all over the field. Now, the Niners game, that might have been one of the best football games of the season, two pretty evenly matched teams. But as we've been talking about with Tom Brady, getting hit. And when you can rush four, I know Bears fans are accustomed to hearing this. This is the old Tampa teams. When you can rush four, you don't have to blitz. And no one wants to blitz Tom Brady. No one wants to blitz Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, et cetera, because those guys would tear you apart. So when you have seven guys in coverage, that's a beautiful thing. And it also covers up some deficiencies you might have in the secondary. Tampa didn't have the greatest secondaries when they won the Super Bowl. They didn't. I know John Lynch was great. They didn't have lockdown corners. What they did have was four guys up front that would beat people to death, and the ball had to come out.
At the news conference announcing Phil Emery, he talked about the Patriots system and running the Patriots system. Ooh. And I know he never was actually working in New England, but he worked for guys that worked there. So he has the Patriots system.
Not the Patriot way.
One of the guys they interviewed and was not a finalist for the job. Both the finalists had Patriot connections, although one never worked for the Patriots, and that's the guy they hired. But the other guy, Mark Ross, was a guy in New York. Should they have waited to the end of the Super Bowl and hired the New York guy? It seems like the Giants system works better, at least against New England, than the Patriot way.
No, it has the last two times. You look at the Giants roster. I think during the playoffs we got to see how deep they really are. You know, they're good on special teams too. They got some talent there in their coverage teams. They got some depth in the secondary. I mean, they got three safeties, actually four when you include the rookie Tyler Stash out of Iowa that can play. They could step in and play at any time. You look at their corners, maybe not the biggest names, but I'll tell you what, watching those corners Sunday night in the Super Bowl, they hit. I mean, they brought their big boy pads to that game. They were hitting. And their front four, they have packages when they put four defensive ends on the field. To do that, you have to have four guys that can play. So they have a lot of depth, and that's the thing about that roster. And a wide receiver, Mario Manningham, is your number three. Let's be honest, guys. If Mario Manningham came here, he'd be an immediate starter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Immediate upgrade.
Better than Roy Williams?
Yeah, I think so.
They'd give him double what they gave Earl Bennett.
Oh, God.
Let me ask you this, Matt. So, you know, everyone pillared Mike Martz, ripped him every chance he got. Is Rod Marinelli getting a pass here? Because Warren Sapp, I remember when Marinelli wasn't going to be the defensive coordinator, and then Perry Fuel interviewed and didn't want the job. And, you know, Lovey said, you know, it's not going to be Marinelli till the point it was. Does he get a pass? Because I know he doesn't have the talent that obviously the Giants have up front. But really, has he developed anybody?
Well, you know, that's interesting, Brian, because I was down in – when I was down in Mobile, I was talking to some scouts and people I trust down there, and we were talking about the Bears' talent and, you know, that Lovey and the organization, whenever they get in that draft room, they talk about size, speed guys. And they convinced the scouting department these are the guys they want. But when's the last time a linebacker was developed here? You talk about that position.
The fifth of never.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Brian, you have Lance, two Pro Bowlers, two great players that are getting older.
Guys drafted before Lovey, by the way.
Right. And behind them, who do you have? Do you have a guy that if Brian were to have an injury, could step in, you'd still see the same production? Or do you have a guy behind Lance? You don't have to worry every time Drew Rosenhaus calls on the phone up at Hallis Hall. You don't have those guys. So I don't think they've done a very good job developing talent. You know, the one player to watch is Chris Conley. Does he get better next year? Because if we start the season and he's still making the same mistakes, taking the same poor angles, then you really have to question the coaching.
And Corey Wooten, guys like that, and Golston, you went out and got all these former number first round picks. Did any of those guys you didn't sort anything out of that group?
No, not at all. No. And you have to, that's part of, I think people overlooked that. And sometimes they say, well, that's a college thing. Those are for college coaches to develop. And that's not true, because college coaches don't get any time with those players. They have no time during the week. Everything's limited. And the pros, that's their job. And if you have to stay after practice, you have to work a guy till midnight, you do it. You got to develop talent. And that's what we saw. It wasn't so much that Jerry, because Jerry took a lot of blame. It wasn't so much that Jerry was a terrible drafter. I know he had his issues. But the players they brought in, these speed size guys, are supposed to fit for Lovie, were never developed into starters.
Jerry tried to give the coaches what he wants, and that's always a mistake.
Trait guys,
Don't be giving the coaches what they want. Go get players. All right, Matt. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you.